cooking? Dennis and I are cooking, and my daughter's threatened, that is, promised, she amended with a smile, to be here by 8 to pitch in. What can I do for you? He's got another. Joe Klein. I'm trying to pare down the possible locations. I think he's got his own place by now, in or very near his old neighborhood. He'd go for swank. We're working on getting lists of new tenants, but there are a lot of possibilities. An apartment or condo, Mira said immediately. Not a detached or semi-attached home. Why? He's sociable and wants to show off. He's not a loner. Under it all, he wants a hive. He just wants to be important in that hive. Okay. Look first at newer buildings, shinier, if you understand me. His parents valued tradition, the old, the histories. He'll want the opposite, and the most exclusive first. I lean that way for the same reasons, but factoring in the cost, he won't concern himself, Mira interrupted, and firmly. He has more money than he'd ever imagined, and he's certain he'll continue to bring in more. A place near clubs, arcades, bars, good shops, or that provides them. Status. He's always wanted it, but lacked the ambition or the ethics to attain it. He believes he's found it now. Okay, yeah, I see that. It helps. Appreciate it. I hope you find him, Eve. I'm going to say happy Thanksgiving because I believe you will. Thanks. Same to you. She jumped on the map, shadowed out the detached and semis. Any building more than a decade old, unless it had been completely rehabbed in modern style. That's better, she murmured, studying the results. She started to cross-reference with the tenant lists Rourke trickled to her. Cursed when her desk link signaled. Dallas, she snapped just as Peabody hustled in.
Lieutenant Dallas, this is Officer Stansky out of Fraud and Financial Crimes.
What do you want, Stansky? She demanded, and seeing Peabody's puppy dog plea, jabbed a thumb toward the kitchen and the auto chef.
We got an auto alert, came in about midnight, and it just got passed through. Not a lot of people working due to the holidays and all.
Move it along, Stansky, for God's sake.
Well, sure. What I'm saying is, we just got the notification, and it don't make much sense altogether. It's on an Anton Trevor with this code we don't get, not one of the standards, and it says to notify you ASAP, so I'm notifying you ASAP.
I'm homicide, Stansky, not fraud.
I got that, LT, sure.
Stansky's round face transmitted utter earnestness, just as her voice transmitted Queen's.
But it says you, Lieutenant Eve Dallas, homicide clear on it. You want us to go ahead and shut down this Anton Trevor's card? Go through the process or what?
Hold on. Something tingled at the base of her neck as she did a quick run. Computer, search and display ID for Anton Trevor, New York, New York, age between 23 and 28. That should cover it.
Acknowledged. Working. Results displayed on screen 1.
Holy shit. Holy fucking shit.
LT?
Stansky said doubtfully. Don't shut it down. Where was the card used?
Got that right here for you. Place called Bar on M. And another few minutes later, Handy Mart. Both in the New York West. Condo Center. That's it.
I've got the address. It was one of her buildings. It was one of Rourke's buildings. You hold, Stansky. Don't notify, don't shut down, don't do a damn thing until you hear back from me.
No problem here.
Send me everything you've got and hold, she said. And clicking off, jumped up just as Rourke pushed open her office doors. I've got him, they said together. Both frowned. What? Then Rourke held up a hand. Go. She, Farnsworth,
must have tagged a fraud alert onto his new ID. It flagged for me when he used it. She saw the media reports, knew I was primary. He's going by Anton Trevor, Rourke finished. I pieced that name from the code she embedded in the transfers. He's the newest tenant in New York West, she finished in turn. And there we are. We've got him, Eve announced as Peabody came out with coffee and a bagel. Peabody said, What? Reinhold's using the AKA Anton Trevor. Notify McNabb. I want to move fast, but we're going to do this smooth. Get him, Baxter, Trueheart. Baxter left for his sisters in Toledo last night, Peabody interrupted. Shit. Make it Carmichael and Sanchez. She paused a beat, in case one of them was having breakfast in goddamn Toledo. We'll do a link briefing, she continued. I want 6 uniforms, seasoned Peabody. Rourke, I need you to notify building security, he said. I know this drill very well. I'll take care of what you need. And to start, he ordered the computer to display new data. That's his level and the blueprint of his apartment. I have all the building specs, so you'll have the points of egress. Makes it easy. And rolling her shoulders, moved to operations strategy. Okay, private elevator. We'll shut that down. 2 other exits. We'll close them off. He'll be armed and God knows with what, so we go in protective gear. I want eyes and ears in there ASAP, and I don't want him looking over that terrace and seeing a bunch of cops moving in on the street. Let me see the big picture, she asked Rourke, so I can put this op together. As he did, she pulled out her link to update her commander. McNabb made it there just as she began the link briefing. Straightforward was how Eve saw it. By the book, tight and right. She paced as she ran it through, wanting to move, knowing she had to cover every contingency. She had her weapons strapped over the soft sweater, the same vivid blue as Rourke's eyes, Sinead had knitted for her. She wore rough trousers and old boots, all the first to come to hand before dawn. And the flat, dangerous glint of cop on the hunt in her eyes. That's how it's gonna work, she finished. McNabb, eyes and ears. Rourke, security. And between you, you'll shut down all electronics and power to that unit on my go. Team A, me, Peabody, officers Carmichael and Prince. Main level door. Team B, detectives Carmichael and Sanchez, officers Rhodes and Murray, second level door. Enter on my go. Officers Kenson and Ferris will hold position here. Block and disperse any and all civilians from entering the hot zone. Are we clear? Yes, sir. No lights, no sirens, and no black and whites within a block of the target building. Protective gear is worn. This is not optional. Again, if the subject is seen exiting the building before this op is in place, take him down. If he's seen inside the building, track, but do not engage. We're moving, she added. Go in soft. Wait for my orders. All weapons, medium stun. She turned, snagged the coat Rourke had brought in. Then her stride forward hitched when she noticed Sinead standing in the doorway someone had neglected to secure. She had a baby on her hip, a hand on a gleefully fascinated Sean's shoulder. We have to go out. Sorry, we're in a hurry. She left it at that, double-timed it out and down the stairs. Rourke paused just for a moment. We'll be back before too long, and I'll let you know. Then he was gone too, rushing out with the rest. Nan! Sean sent Sinead a look of awe and joy. They're after the bad guy! They are, yes. Well then, let's go down. Have a little tea. Reinhold slept the sleep of the satisfied and woke to Joe's harsh, sobbing screams.
Jesus!
Reinhold rolled, stretched, yawned.
What a pussy!
He hit the bedroom AC for hot chocolate, extra whipped cream, and stood at his window wall, looking out at New York, at the city he knew feared him, while he drank. When Joe didn't show up at his mother's by about noon, Reinhold calculated, to hang out with his stepfather, his brother, and his brother's ugly wife and uglier kids, his fat cousin Stu, who'd have his piss-faced grandmother in tow, they in the city would fear him more. All around the Thanksgiving tables, he'd be the talk. Jerry Reinhold, a killer who did what he wanted, who he wanted, when he wanted. Taking his time, he dressed, crap clothes again, because holiday or not, he was working, then went into the spare room to activate the droid. Good morning, sir. Someone appears to be in distress. Don't worry about him. Don't talk to him or listen to him. Got it, asshole? Yes, sir. Go down and fix me, what is it? Yeah, eggs Benedict, a couple slices of toast with strawberry jelly, and whatever ought to go with it. Then come up here and clean up my bedroom, take care of my clothes. I'll let you know when to come down again. Yes, sir. Before he went down himself, Reinhold checked himself out in the mirror. He thought he might dress up later, catch some football, which reminded him to tell the droid to get him some prime Giants tickets. Maybe he'd have some fancy drink out on the terrace, too. He planned on keeping Joe around another night, having some fun there. But if the fucker was going to keep screaming, he strolled down. Joe looked worse for wear, that's for sure. His face, and he'd always been a conceited fuck, all bloody and bruised. A lot busted in there. The shallow cuts had stopped bleeding, something he'd fix after breakfast. And the burns looked like circles and streaks of charcoal. Reinhold picked up the sap, gave Joe an absent smack. Shut the fuck up, or I'll slit your throat and be done with it. Please, God, please. The words came garbled through broken teeth. I think I'm dying. I'm hurt bad. Don't hurt me anymore. Please, man, please. I'll do whatever you want. I'll give you anything you want. Oh, yeah? That's something, maybe. You've got some money, Joe. The Vegas money and more. Maybe if you give me your passcode so I can take it, I'll let you go.
Anything. You can have it. I've got my Uncle Stan's passcodes, too.
Is that so? With a smile, Reinhold gestured to a nearby chair. Set me up there, he ordered the droid.
I found them when I was helping him out with some stuff. He's got some real scratch, Jerry. I'll get it for you. Just let me go. Promise to let me go, and I'll get you all of it.
I'll think about it.
Please. I need water. Can I have some water, please?
Easing into his seat, Reinhold took his knife and fork from the tray the droid gave him.
Can't you see I'm having breakfast? Shut up before you piss me off.
You, he said to the droid, turn on the screen. It's got to be about time for the parade. He smiled, cut into his eggs. I'd hate for us to miss the parade, Joe. Just lie back and enjoy. Chapter 22. Eve coordinated with her team en route. She couldn't afford the time or the exposure for a final briefing on site. Too many people, with too many ways to get the word out that cops were gathering at New York West. A leak to the media, on the internet, might alert Reinhold. She believed, strongly, asshole Joe was still alive. She believed they had time. But the very fact Joe was an asshole might tip Reinhold over the edge. She'd be damned if they'd be minutes too late this time. When she said as much to Rourke, he touched a hand to hers. We'll have him locked down minutes after we arrive, and we'll have your eyes and ears up minutes after that. Minutes, she thought. They had to be on her side this round. Lux turned, she stated. Lux turned our way. You've got to see it that way. We hit on him, both of us, almost at the same time. It all fell together. It fell together because you haven't let up on it for 3 days and nights. That and Miss Farnsworth, she pulled off a hell of a thing. I admit, I wish I could have met her. You wish you could have hired her, Eve added, and he laughed. You know me very well. Sanchez is on site, Dallas, Peabody told her from the back. Detective Carmichael's less than a minute out. Uniforms are checking in. Talking to your security head now, Rourke, McNabb announced. They've cleared the parking space you directed. Have eyes trained on the hallways on Reinhold's two floors. Good enough. And here we are. It's really pretty. Peabody craned her head to take in the tower. Shiny, and all that glass just sparkles. Head in the game, Peabody, Eve ordered, and jumped out the minute Rourke pulled to the curb. Record on, all records on. All teams move into position. I want all elevators but his blocked from his floor the minute Team B reaches his second level. Sir, a tall, curvy brunette clipped over to Rourke. We're in place, awaiting any further instructions. Lieutenant, this is Head of Building Security, Veronica Benston. Lieutenant, Benston nodded at Eve. There's been no activity outside of the target area. Two units on the subject's main level and one on his secondary level are not occupied today, as the tenants are out of town. In-residence tenants, as you instructed, have not been notified, as yet, of any police activity. Give me the rundown as we go. We're moving. We've kept this elevator clear for you. Benston led the way, explained any and all occupants and activities on the target level. You're back up, Benston, and thanks for the assist and the speed of it. Eve stepped out on Reinhold's level. She sent Team B a thumbs up, moved on as they rode to the next level. Shut down his private elevator. Block all access and egress to this level. Rourke, I want him blind. I want his alarms and backups shut down. Benston, would you mind? It's done, sir. She tapped her earbud. Blind him, she ordered. Kill alarms. Both levels of target unit. At hallway door, Eve said into her own comm, assessing. Since Benston offered it, she used security's master, then drawing her weapon, went through the door. Get me eyes and ears, McNabb. All over that deal. He squatted, went to work on a portable. Good filters, he said absently. Excellent shielding. This would take longer without the specs. He shot Rourke a grin. Saves me work. You got two human heat sources, LT, and one robotic charge, all main level. Nothing human or E on second level. Eve crouched, studied the screen. Right in the main living area. Seconds later, she heard sobbing, pleading. Got your ears, McNabb murmured. Please, God, please. I think I'm dying. Team B in position, Sanchez said in Eve's ear. Hold there. Subject and victim are both on main living area. Single droid also on main level.
I've got my Uncle Stan's passcodes, too.
Eve held up a fist, signaling wait. Watched as the heat source she identified as Reinhold moved a little farther away from Joe. He's sitting down. Got the droid by him. Put some space between him and the Vic. Open it, she asked Rourke. Nice and quiet. Move in, Team B. Slow, quiet.
Just lie back and enjoy.
Eve held up three fingers. On three, she murmured. She went through the door, fast and low, with Peabody fast and high beside her. Reinhold squealed. There was no other word to describe it, Eve thought in disgust. He squealed like a little girl, threw his tray of food in the air, and ran for the stairs. Stop! Freeze! Hands in the air! Instead, as Team B charged down, he veered away, grabbed a vase, threw it. It missed by a mile, shattered on the floor. Eve considered stunning him as he ran, basically in circles, throwing whatever came to hand while Joe screamed. God, she wanted to stun him. And because she did, she tackled him instead. He went down in a skid, kicking, flailing, adding screams to Joe's until Eve pressed her weapon to his cheek. Oh, give me a reason, you fuck! Get off me! Get away from me! Kill her! He ordered the droid, who just stood looking as distressed as a droid was capable of looking. Eve dragged Reinhold's arms behind his back, cuffed him. Gerald Reinhold, you're under arrest for murder, multiple counts, for kidnapping, for identity fraud, breaking and entering, and all sorts of additional charges. You have the right to remain silent, she began, and with Peabody's help, managed to get him to his feet. He kept letting his legs buckle, so by the time she'd finished reading him the revised Miranda, she'd had enough. Officer Carmichael, take this asshole into custody. Put him in top-level holding at Central until I say different. You've got it, Lieutenant. And somebody call the medics and a bus for that poor bastard. Already done, Detective Carmichael tapped her comm. On their way. Harnessing her weapon, Eve walked over to Joe, shook her head. You're a real goddamn mess, Joe, but you'll live.
He hurt me. He hurt me.
Yeah, he did. Eve watched as Rourke and another uniform worked on cutting through rope and tape. I'm sorry about that. Maybe the next time you start to smirk at a cop, you'll remember.
Water.
He sobbed, twisted some pity out of her.
Please, he wouldn't even give me water.
Here you go. Peabody held a cup to his lips. Slow now. We've got you now, Joe. We've got you now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't listen.
It's okay. It'll be okay. Maybe it would, Eve thought, but he'd paid a hell of a price for being an asshole. She didn't rush it. Let Reinhold stew and sweat a while. With her team, she went through every inch of the apartment, past the electronics, including the droid to McNabb, and Feeney, who'd showed up as the MTs wheeled Joe out, a little steamed they hadn't waited for him. She found it interesting and a little sad to discover Reinhold had stocked the full traditional Thanksgiving feast and wondered if he'd planned on tucking into it before or after he killed one of his oldest friends. She held up the mini saw as Rourke approached. A new tool for him. I'd say he'd have tested it out on fingers, maybe hands, feet. Then he'd have used it to cut Joe into more easily disposable pieces, using the industrial waste bags we found to get the pieces out. A lovely thought, and likely accurate. I took the droid, he added. Its memory loop is fully intact, going back to when Reinhold reprogrammed it prior to murdering Farnsworth. It will be very solid evidence for the prosecution. We've got nothing but solid evidence, and a live witness. So you'll be visiting the hospital at some point, and not the morgue. Happy Thanksgiving. For most of us. I also spoke with the realtor who arranged the rental. Easy enough now to track it. Idly, Rourke glanced around the main level, and even under the circumstances, found satisfaction in the flow of the layout, the use of materials. Reinhold snapped the place up just yesterday and made arrangements to purchase the furniture already in place. Trendy and expensive. It suited him, and it saved him time and trouble. So you were right on his style, but he lucked, again, into finding a place where he didn't have to shop for his furnishings. Eve's lips turned up in a sharp, grim smile. Luck changes. And I'm about to finish his run for good. I'm sending the electronics with McNabb. And Feeney, since his ass is burned, I didn't call him in, away from his wife, family, and day off. Anyway, they'll just log and secure, then they're sprung. Sanchez and Carmichael are going to work with Crime Scene to seal and secure, then they're sprung too. Peabody's stuck with me. I have to deal with Reinhold today. Now, if it goes smooth enough, I'll be home for dinner. We, he corrected. I'm with you. Your family, you're my family first. I'll let them know. And if we're not going to be back at a reasonable time, they'll start without us. Fine. If it took too long, she thought, she'd push him out. But she needed to get started. Peabody, let's go have a nice little chat with Jerry. Can't wait. She worked on strategy as Rourke drove to Central. She had Reinhold's number now. With Mira's profile, her own observations, interviews with friends, co-workers, supervisors, she knew what he was and believed she knew how he thought. You're good cop, Peabody. Aw, damn it! He's gonna respond to bad cop, me. Make excuses, try to hold a line, be a big shot as long as he can hold on to his guts there. And he's gonna respond to good cop, see someone who's willing to give him leeway on the excuses. He's not smart enough to understand the dynamics, the rhythm, or how that push-pull undermines. Rourke flicked a glance at Peabody's sulky face in the rear view. It's a classic for a reason, he reminded her. And you always know when to slip in with the softer touch. It's masterful. As Peabody perked up, Eve slid a glance toward Rourke. Talk about masterful. In the garage, she reached for the box of props she'd brought from the crime scene. Rourke nudged her aside, hefted it himself. I'm gonna know pretty quick how this is gonna go, she told him. If I think it's gonna drag out, go into hours, I'm going to signal you or step out and tell you. Let's make a deal. I do love a deal. If it's gonna bog down, you go home, do the turkey thing. Then you can come back. I'll even get word to you when I think I'm close to wrapping it up. Your aunt shouldn't have to feel she's in charge when she's supposed to be a guest, Eve added. That was a good one. He shifted the box as they rode the elevator up. All right, then. That's a deal. Satisfied with that, Eve got off the elevator. Peabody takes the box. He'll look at me as in charge. He's gonna be afraid of me, and I'll make sure of it. He's a coward, and fear's gonna break him. He'll try to push me at first, then he'll appeal to you, she told Peabody. You're close to his age. You're not the primary authority figure, and you'll be sympathetic, to a point. Call him by his first name. That's connection from you, lack of respect from me. I get it. He's an interviewee. Then I'll be an observation, Rourke said. Good luck, both of you. That's just what we've got now. Eve led the way. As she'd instructed on the way in, he'd been put in interview, but not in restraints. Restraints indicated he was something to fear. The uniforms who'd pulled him out of holding and brought him up hadn't spoken a word, asked no questions, answered none. So now he sat alone in the box, lights on full, sweating, she noted when she stepped in. Beads of sweat on his upper lip, his brow. Dallas, Lieutenant Eve, and Peabody Detective Delia entering interview with Reinhold Gerald. She read off a series of case files as she took a seat. Reinhold Gerald, you have been informed of your rights on record. Do you understand your rights and obligations in these matters? I don't want to talk to you. That's one of your rights. Do you understand that right and the rights and obligations as given to you in the revised Miranda? He turned his head away, stared at the side wall like a petulant child. Okay, fine. Peabody, arrange for him to be taken back to a cage. I'm not going back down there! Eve just stood, started for the door.
All right, Jesus, yes, I understand the stupid rights and shit.
Good. She came back, sat again. We can make this quick and easy, Jerry. I mean, for God's sake, we walked in on you with Joe. You'd done a number on him.
You came onto my private property. That's a violation of my rights. You can't use anything you found when you violated my rights.
Seriously? She eased back and laughed. That's your defense? If you're gonna watch fictional crime shows, you should at least pay attention. Ever hear of probable cause, Jerry? Or duly exercised warrants? You abducted and were holding an individual against his will, causing him severe bodily harm. You assaulted said individual. You committed battery, battery with intent, assault with a deadly, and so forth on this individual, and you planned to murder this individual, then saw him to pieces and dispose of him.
You can't prove any of that.
I can prove all of it. Let's start with the first part. You abducted Joseph Klein.
Did not?
His voice cracked a little as he jabbed a finger at her twice.
He came to see me. He walked right into my place on his own. And I was just fooling around. Just messing with him.
That's what you call it? Bashing him in the head with a baseball bat? Breaking his teeth, his cheekbones, his jaw, burning him with the torch, cutting him.
That's just messing with him?
He screwed with me. I screwed with him. That's self-defense. He... His eyes actually shifted left and right.
He came to my place and he threatened me. I protected myself.
He gave you a bad time, so beating the shit out of him while you've bound him to a chair is self-defense? You're an idiot, Jerry.
I'm not an idiot!
Harsh red color stained his face, ran down to his neck as if his fury needed to pump through his pores.
I'm smarter than you, smarter than most people. I proved it.
How?
I did what I had to do. I got what I needed to get.
Starting with stabbing your own mother over 50 times.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He looked away again.
I wasn't even there. I came in and I found them. It was awful.
He covered his face with his hands.
You're saying you came home and found your parents dead, Jerry?
Peabody did her masterful slide. A touch of sympathetic horror in her voice.
God! It was...
He dropped his hands and for the first time looked at Peabody.
I can't even tell you. I'd warned them not to just open the door for anybody, but they never listened. And I came in and they were... All the blood!
Give me a break, Eve muttered. But Peabody shook her head.
Come on, Lieutenant. We wondered about that. What did you do, Jerry?
I don't know exactly. It's all kind of crazy in my head. I just freaked. I think maybe I blacked out or had a kind of, I don't know, seizure or something.
So you don't really remember what you did after? When did you find them exactly?
I guess late Friday night. I came in and where had you been?
Just around.
Anyway, nothing made any sense, you know?
Did you come out of your seizure long enough to steal the watch you sold? To transfer your parents' life savings to accounts you opened?
Eve's question snapped him back.
It was mine since they were dead. I didn't know what else to do. I was scared and not thinking straight. You try coming home and finding your parents dead. See how you act.
It had to be awful, but
you should have called the police, Jerry,
Peabody said gently.
I know that now, but then I just wasn't thinking straight.
Straight enough to take what cash and valuables they had in the apartment. Straight enough to withdraw the funds you'd transferred Monday morning, Eve pointed out. To book a high flyer hotel suite and eat hearty Saturday and Sunday nights.
That's not a crime.
But he swiped at the sweat on his lip.
I needed some money to get by, didn't I? I needed time to think. Then I saw how you cops were after me, and I needed time to figure it out. So
you went to Lori Nuccio's apartment, used the key you hadn't given back to her after she dumped your sorry ass, and you tortured and killed her.
I did not, and she didn't dump me. I dumped her. It wasn't working for me, so I dumped her. And she begged me to stay with her, give her another chance. Then I figured it out when I heard about how she was dead. The same person who killed my parents killed Lori.
Now that I agree with.
But Ms. Farnsworth, Peabody began, gave Reinhold a worried look.
Her too!
Excitement lived on his face as he grabbed his theme, ran with it.
The same person did it, trying to screw with me. See, it was all about screwing with me so you cops would come after me, maybe kill me before I could prove my innocence. Joe!
Eve all but saw the metaphoric light bulb flash on over his head.
I knew it had to be Joe who did it. He's crazy. Anybody'll tell you. And he was really jealous of me. That's why I got him to come to my new place, why I was messing with him. I needed to get him to confess so I could turn him over to you.
Wow.
Peabody hoped she looked shocked and impressed instead of showing the absolute disgust she felt.
So Joe killed your parents and Lori and Ms. Farnsworth because he was mad at you, jealous of you?
Yeah. He hit on Lori a few times, she told me, and she blew him off. So he was pissed about that, too. And he ragged and ragged on me about Vegas, kept buying me drinks so I got a little, you know, impaired, then pushed me into betting all that money. He made me lose all that money, and oh, he knew I didn't really hold anything against Ms. Farnsworth. She taught me a lot. But he ragged on me, so I made like she was a bitch. Just saving face, like. Then he goes and kills her so he can pin it on me.
This is very serious, Jerry.
I know, right?
Trying for sincerity, he bobbed his head up and down.
He's crazy, I guess.
But he was ready to admit it. He told me some of it, but I didn't have the recorder on yet. He said how my ma let him in, was gonna fix him a sandwich. She did things like that. And he picked up the knife and stabbed her and stabbed her.
He covered his face with his hands again.
My ma!
Golly. Where was your father?
Did Joe say?
He said how he got the bat from my room and he hid and waited till my dad got home. Then he bashed him and bashed him, and he just left them there.
It's funny,
Eve said, how he walked in and out of the building without ever once showing up on security. Oops, she thought, as Reinhold's eyes shifted again. Sometimes those things don't work right. The super's supposed to get it fixed, but he doesn't. He's lazy. So the security on the door magically shows you going in Thursday night, late, and not leaving again until Saturday night, suitcases in tow, and also magically never showed Joe entering or exiting the building. It can happen. Well, at least we can check with the super, Peabody said doubtfully. He'll just lie. You know all about liars, Eve said. Just let me ask you one question. Just one that's bugging me some. How'd you get the fake ID and the money to rent that swanky apartment? I won some money in Vegas I didn't tell the guys about. And I paid this guy I met at a bar for the ID. What guy? What bar? How much? Eve rapped the questions out. Some guy. I don't know. Just a bar. Maybe $1,000? About $500, I guess. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit! Eve pushed forward into his space, so he jerked back. You lost your ass in Vegas. You didn't just happen on an expert on fake IDs at some bar, and you sure as hell didn't get one with the accompanying database for $500. You lying piece of shit. We've got the comps you stole from Ms. Farnsworth after you tortured her, after you killed her. The ones you had her droid take to a swap store. The data's right on them. They were wiped! Wiped clean! Wound up, he leaned toward her, shoved his face toward hers. You're the liar! How do you know they were wiped, Jerry? Jerking back, he ran his tongue around his lips. Just figured. Joe's not stupid. He'd have wiped them first. You should have paid more attention to Ms. Farnsworth in computer science, Jerry. With the right techs, the right equipment, and believe me, the NYPSD has both, you can retrieve damn near anything. Your ID was made on her comps. Okay. I didn't want to get her in trouble. She's dead, Jerry. Her reputation. She made the ID and stuff for me. I went to her, explained things, and she helped me out. That's why Joe killed her, after I left. But she was dead when you left, Jerry. When you left carting your new duffel in her suitcase and caught a cab to the clinic because she'd managed to break your foot. That wasn't me. That was Joe. It was all Joe. He began to cry, tears of terror and self-pity. I didn't do anything! Get off my back! I didn't do anything! We've got witnesses. We tracked you, you stupid fuck! We know where you bought the hair color, the eye color, the bronzer. She shoved to her feet again. And these. She began dropping sealed evidence on the table. The tape, the rope, the knife. This saw you intended to use to cut Joe to pieces. These bags for disposal of body parts. I did not! The droid bought that stuff. Some of it on your orders. Ms. Farnsworth's droid. Then there's this. Eve lifted out the evidence bag, holding the hank of Lori Nuccio's hair. How'd you get Lori's hair, Jerry? She gave it to me. Like a love token thing. Really? How did she manage to do that when the person who hacked it off her before killing her took it? Had her hair colored just that afternoon. Jerry, this color. I got mixed up. You're mixing me up. Joe had that with him. He brought it with him. He showed it to me to prove he'd killed Lori. You killed Lori and got off doing it. You left the boxers you had on in her bathroom, you fuckhead. Joe planted those. He told me. Eve sat back. Not gonna fly, Jerry. Not even gonna get off the ground. On top of everything else, Miss Farnsworth left a deathbed statement, too, right on her computer. Coded it in right under your idiot nose while you had her terrorized. Your name, Jerry, and everything we need to wrap you up. That's a lie. She did not.
She really did, Jerry.
Peabody spoke quietly, pushing what sympathy she could into her tone.
It's all right there.
She did that to get back at me, that's all. She always had it in for me.
Then why did she make you the ID? Why did she help you out?
You're confusing me. You're mixing me up on purpose. I want a lawyer. I want a lawyer, and I'm not talking to you.
That's your right. Eve began to box up the evidence again. Peabody, have him taken back to holding.
I am not going back there!
Shouting, he gripped the edge of the table as if to secure himself in place.
I want a lawyer now. I've got plenty of money. I can hire the best lawyer there is, and he'll make you sorry.
You don't have any money, Jerry, Eve corrected.
I have millions!
She sighed. Jerry, you moron. The money was stolen in the commission of various crimes. None of it's yours.
Everything my parents had is mine. That's the law.
Not if you killed them. She's right about that, Jerry. You can't use any of that money. Peabody rose, too. I'll notify the public defender's office. With the holiday, though, it could be Monday before they assign anyone.
I'm not waiting until Monday.
If you want a lawyer, Eve shrugged. It could take a while to get you a PD.
I want one now.
His eyes went wild. Spittle flew.
I want to use my money to hire a lawyer, you bitch.
Tough shit, Jerry. We'll work on getting you a public defender, as is your right.
Don't you walk out of here! You come back here, you stupid bitch! You come back here right now!
You've exercised your right, requested a lawyer. This interview is done until you're represented. Get the door, will you, Peabody?
Fuck a bunch of lawyers! I don't want a lawyer! I want you to get back here! I want to go home!
Calm as a lake on the outside, Eve turned back to him. You're waiving your right to representation at this time?
Fuck you, yes. I'm telling you, Joe killed all of them, and you're trying to pin it on me. You're just pissed because I was smarter than you.
Oh, yeah. I can promise if you were smarter than me, I'd be pissed. Eve set down the box, sad again. Here's another little, what did Rourke call it? Spanner in the works. Joe's alibied for the time of your mother's death, the time of your father's death, your ex's death, and Ms. Farnsworth's death. Do you think we don't check these things, Jerry?
He's lying. You're lying. I want another cop.
That's not one of your rights. You killed them, Jerry. Every one of them. You liked it. You found what you were missing in life, didn't you? And you got rich doing it. You got everything you ever wanted, everything you deserved. All those assholes screwing with you, you got them back for it. And you were good at it. You fucking excelled.
You're damn right.
It came to you when you were sticking that knife in your mother, didn't it? Eve kept her eyes trained on his, kept her tone quiet and smooth. Praise and threaten, she thought. Juggle both the praise, the threats, and toss in the facts. She's bugging the shit out of you. Get a job. Get out. Get off your ass. Nagging, bitch. You'd had enough. Who wouldn't? So you picked up the knife right there in the kitchen where she was making you a sandwich, and you carved her up, and you knew right then you'd found your calling.
She wouldn't get off my back. They were going to kick me out. Just kick me out. What was I supposed to do?
Get a job, Eve thought. So you killed them. Your mother with a knife. And you waited until your father came home from work and you beat him to death with your old baseball bat. It was self-defense. I had to protect myself, didn't I? They made me crazy. It's their fault. I did what I had to do to protect myself.
What you had to do, Eve said with a nod. Then you took their money, their valuables. You stayed in the apartment with their bodies from Friday night until Saturday night.
I couldn't stay there forever, could I?
Right, of course. But you needed some time to do the whole transfer with the accounts. Find all the money they had. Open your own accounts. Wire the money out and over using their passcodes.
My money, he reminded her. My parents, my inheritance. They owed me.
It was pretty smart, Peabody said, and worked some admiration into her tone.
I mean, the way you transferred the money, then withdrew it so fast on Monday, spent some time in that nice hotel figuring out your next move.
People underestimate me. That's their problem.
I figured it out, and I did everything right. You had my name and face all over the screen, but you couldn't find me.
I've got skills.
And you used those skills on Lori Monday night.
That bitch didn't respect me. Another nag, nag, nag. She humiliated me, so I humiliated her right back. She deserved it.
Stripped her, cut her hair, Eve said, tore up her new stuff.
You got off when you strangled her, didn't you, Jerry?
They're powerful, those skills of yours. You found your power.
Best I ever had, and I did it myself.
She deserved what she got.
It was self-defense, he repeated, jabbing a finger on the table.
All of it. I had to look out for myself. It's my right.
How was Ms. Farnsworth self-defense? Eve wondered.
She ruined my life. Screwed with my grades so it looked like I flunked, and I had to lose a whole summer making it up. My own friends made fun of me. I made her give me my life back, that's all. Made her give me a new life. That's fair.
You assaulted her, bound her with rope and tape, forced her to generate your new data and identification, credit cards, to transfer her funds, her property, into accounts for you.
She owed me. They all owed me.
They all thought I was nothing.
I made them nothing.
It's fair, he repeated.
I've got a right to look out for myself.
Eve glanced at Peabody.
Let me just make sure we get all this straight, Jerry, Peabody said. You killed your mother, your father, Lori Nuccio, and Miss Edie Farnsworth. You abducted, assaulted, tortured, and planned to kill Joe Klein because they owed you, having played parts in ruining your life. So taking their lives was fair. Taking their property and money was fair.
That's right. That's exactly right. Pleased with the summation, he gave Peabody a sharp nod.
They all screwed with me, so I screwed with them bigger.
Did you see my apartment?
That's who I am now. And I know damn well it's going to turn out you're wrong about the money. It's mine. It's in my name, my accounts. Possession's more than half of something. I heard that somewhere. The money's in my possession, so you'd better get me a damn good lawyer in here now, or I'm going to sue your asses. It was self-defense, and I'm not going back in that cell. You can't make me.
He actually folded his arms over his chest, jutted out his chin, like a kid making a dare.
Oh, Jerry, Jerry, I can't begin to tell you how happy I am to disabuse you.
Eve allowed herself a single happy sigh and a big wide smile.
How my heart actually sings with gratitude for this moment.
You're going down for murder, you asshole.
One count second degree, three first degree, one of assault with intent, plus all the related charges. You're not just going back in that cell, Jerry. You're going to live the rest of your small, stupid, miserable life in a cage.
I will not!
I'm not going to jail!
She let him spring up, let him run for the door, and just shot her foot out to trip him. And yeah, there was a little heart singing when he did a sliding face plant. No, you're not going to jail, she agreed, stirring herself to slap restraints on him as he cried big self-pitying tears and sobbed for his money. It's called prison, and I'm betting it's going to be a nasty, bust-your-ass prison off-planet where they eat weaseling little cowards like you for lunch. I'll take him down to booking, Peabody said, as she helped Eve haul Reinhold to his feet. Nah, we're passing him off to a couple unlucky uniforms. We're going to go have ourselves a nice turkey dinner. Yay! Together, they dragged the limp, sobbing Reinhold out of the box and into the rest of his life. Epilogue. There was some paperwork to deal with, some contacts to make. Procedure was procedure, but Eve figured they pulled up at the house at a reasonable time. She hadn't screwed up Thanksgiving. Champagne, Rourke decreed. For both of you, exceptional teamwork and interview. Champagne? Peabody did a seat dance before climbing out. Oh boy, oh boy! It's a good day, Eve decided, and she could wait for the next to talk to asshole Joe in the hospital. She stepped into the house, into a wall of voices, music, into the scents of applewood burning, candles flickering, flowers and food, into, she supposed, family. They'd spread around the living room and had broken out musical instruments. Some of them danced, including, she saw with considerable shock, the huge Crack, the sex club owner, with his tattoos and feathers. The Irish white skin of the little girl he had on his hip glowed against his ebony. Mavis's little Bella clung to McNabb's hands and stomped her feet in a mimic of the step dancing going on. They called it a Kaylee, she remembered from her visit to the family farm in Clare, and she supposed they'd brought a little Irish to an American holiday. It fit just fine. Before she could evade or even think to, one of them, cousin, whizzed by, snatching her, swinging her into the whirl of it. She managed a, but he just plucked her off her feet, spun her in circles. She laughed, then staggered a bit when he dropped her back down, and the music ended with riotous applause. The noise didn't end. A million questions and comments burst out and made her think of a media conference. Easy now, Sinead ordered. You're all smothering the lot of them. Ian tells us you got your man, she added, and all's well with the world. For now. Now is good and fine enough. We've been entertaining ourselves, as you see, until you're home again. Don't let that stop you. She took the glass of champagne Rourke handed her. That was quick. It was already out and open. Nadine walked over, gave Eve a hard, completely unexpected hug. I love them, she murmured in Eve's ear. I love them all and want to marry them. How much have you had to drink? Just the right amount. God, they're so much fun. You're a lucky woman, Dallas. I'm feeling pretty lucky. I'm having the best time. Easing back, Nadine plucked up her glass of champagne, lifted it in toast. And I'm getting an exclusive with you and Rourke together on now. No, you're not. Oh, but I am. Fun and affection danced in Nadine's crafty green eyes. I'm going to get you drunk enough to agree before we have the pie. Good luck with that. I'm feeling pretty lucky, too. Oh, Morris is going to play the sax. I want to marry him when he plays the sax. One of the uncles sang with the wrenching melody,
and half the room shed tears. Eve thought they liked it. Mavis bounded up to give her a squeeze, then Charles. Everybody seemed to need a hug. "I got that name and contact for you," Charles told her. "It turns out you didn't need it." "I'm glad I didn't." She started to step back. She really needed to take her weapon harness off, secure it upstairs. But she glanced down to see Sean and Nixie staring up at her.
"What?"
"You got the bad guy," Sean stated.
"Yeah, we got him."
"Did you zap him a good one first?"
Violent little bugger, she thought. She liked that about him. "No, I just knocked him down. Twice."
"That's something, then."
"He killed people," Nixie said.
"That's right."
"Now he won't anymore."
"No, he won't."
She nodded, smiled.
"I have your surprise."
"Yeah? Hand it over." She ran to Elizabeth, got a slim rectangle wrapped in gold paper. Gifts were always weird to her, so Eve ripped the paper off, like a bandage from a wound, to get it done fast, and looked down at a framed drawing of herself. She stood, eyes hard, weapon drawn, coat billowing. A little reminiscent, she thought, of an illustration in one of Rourke's classic graphic novels. And just as frosty.
"I drew it, but Richard helped."
"A little," he confirmed.
"A lot," Nixie whispered.
"It's great. It's really great. I look kick-ass." Nixie giggled, slid her gaze toward her adoptive parents.
"It's an assignment. My therapist said for me to make a picture of the person I'm most thankful for this Thanksgiving. I thought about it a lot. Because I'm really thankful for Elizabeth and Richard and Kevin, but I wouldn't have them to be thankful for except for you. I wrote an essay on the back. It's part of the assignment and the present."
"Oh." Eve turned it over, saw it was a two-sided frame, and as she skimmed the careful writing, felt her throat close.
"Would you read it?"
Sinead asked, and looking up, Eve saw the movement had stopped, and everyone waited for her.
"Would you read it to us, Eve?"
Why don't I do that?" Understanding, Rourke took the frame. "The person I'm most thankful for this Thanksgiving is Lieutenant Eve Dallas. She kept me safe when I was scared and I was sad. She took me to her house with Rourke and Somerset and Galahad so nobody could hurt me, not even the bad people who killed my family and my friend. She told me the truth. She promised me she would find the bad people and make sure they were punished. And Rourke said she would never stop until she did that. He told me the truth, too. She helped me find Richard and Elizabeth and Kevin. They're not my mother, my father, and my brother, but they're my family now, and I know it's okay to love them. It doesn't mean I don't love my mom and dad and my brother. Dallas didn't treat me like a baby. She told me I was a survivor, and that's important. She worked hard, and she even got hurt, but she found the bad people, and she made sure they got punished. She told me the truth. She kept her promise. So she is the person I'm most thankful for this Thanksgiving. Nixie Simpson."
"Well done, Nixie."
Rourke bent over to kiss her cheek.
"Well done."
"It's good?"
she asked Eve.
"It's real good," Eve managed.
I'm going to put it in my office at Central.
and it'll remind me to tell the truth and keep promises.
Really?
I said so, didn't I? Nixie threw her arms around Eve's waist, then ran over to Elizabeth.
She liked it.
Yes, she did. Elizabeth sent Eve a watery smile, then pressed her face to Nixie's hair.
That was lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Sinead got to her feet.
And a perfect way to lead us to our feast, I'm thinking. Let's get a move on. With this lot of us, it'll take an hour just to settle.
If I may. Somerset offered Sinead his arm, gave Rourke the faintest nod before leading the horde out.
I need a minute, Eve murmured.
Rourke just drew her in, kissed the top of her head.
She's a strong, graceful girl, he said. You helped her believe the world could be right again.
She lost everything, and look at her. She has heart and, yeah, grace and goddamn spine. Then you look at Reinhold, and you wonder why.
You'll never have the answer, but you wonder.
Steadier, she drew back. But Sinead's right. Fine and good right now's enough. You'd better grab onto that while you have it.
And we do.
We do.
Let's go eat ourselves sick. I'm for it.
She took a moment to walk over.